Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
It's time to talk the Brew Crew with Brewers beat writer Adam McKelvey. Thanks for joining us, Adam. I feel like I want to call the Brew Crew the comeback crew this time.
That was crazy comeback yesterday. It was funny because it was their biggest comeback, 8 runs, 8-0, since they came back from 9 runs down against the Reds. And I don't know how, but somehow I remembered that game in 2004 when they came back from down 9 ended on a walk-off bunt. A Bill Hall walk-off bunt, which was a crazy way to end a crazy game. But that was pretty wild yesterday, and credit to them for kind of sticking with it, because that game got out of hand early, and it's really easy to fold up and just move on to the next one, but they didn't do that yesterday.
Adam, we had Pat Murphy join Wisconsin's Morning News with Vince and Eric, and they asked him about what it was like in the clubhouse, on the bench, in the dugout, when they were down 8-0. And Murphy said, I was trying to write like a rah-rah speech and get these guys in the right mindset. And said, I looked up and they started taking care of it themselves. So I wanted to ask you, as someone who covers the team and covers baseball, how important are games like the one on Sunday, especially heading right into the playoffs and coming off a part in the season where they kind of stumbled a little bit?
Yeah, look, I always feel that the value in those games is that you show yourselves you can do it. It's like, I always think comeback wins early in the season are like count double, because you prove that you're a team that can win those games. Because, look, it is really easy when you play 162 games and they just keep coming, that you find a day where you're down early and you do kind of pack it in, and the at-bats, the quality of that bats decline, and everybody just tries to get through it and get on to the next one. So I do think that there's value in kind of proving that you can win a game like that. And it's always the context too, right? I mean, they had played the first 3 games against Arizona, and it was not good. I mean, I still find the stat really amazing that there have been 25 games in the history of this franchise in which two or fewer runners reach safely. That's only happened 25 times in 53 years, 54 years, whatever it is. And two of those 25 games were in the first 3 games of that series against Arizona, where they had 2 hits, no walks, and were just completely lifeless after the clinch. So I think the context matters too, that they were able to kind of come back and get a really big win. Looks like they had fun on the flight. They dressed up the rookies in some Halloween costumes. And I'm sure that flight was a whole lot more fun, not coming off a 4-game sweep at a hand of a team, by the way, that you might face again next week in the playoffs.
Adam, how often do you say sweet sassy molasses?
As much as I can, as much as possible.
That was in your tweet of this game.
Yeah, well, I would say it was warranted in this case, don't you?
Hey, listen, it was a wild game. The other thing I think is wild is this is not my style. I don't like to boo the team. If it's my team, I don't want to boo them, even though sometimes maybe it's warranted. But how often do you actually see the fans boo the team?
Not very often here, especially this season, because it's been, you know, look, if expectations are World Series or bust, I'm sure the Phillies got booed at times this year at home in Philly, and they have, you know, they're vying with the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. Now, Philly will boo Santa Claus, and they're famous for that, so maybe that's a bad example. But there have not been a lot of those moments. And Pat Murphy talked about that in the postgame yesterday, that he thought it was maybe a little wake-up call for some of these young players about the way Murph puts it always is you can't coast uphill. And the way he views it, because they don't have Bryce Harper or Shohei Ohtani, they're not a roster stocked with superstars. They just, the way he bluntly puts it is they are not talented enough to coast. And after that clinch, I think it's totally natural for a team to exhale a little bit, because look, as a fan, you're watching all these games. The wildest Brewers fan I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this. Does anybody watch all 162 is my point? I'm sure even the most ardent fan takes a game or two off. These guys play every single day. And you get to a division title, which is not something to be taken for granted, even though they've done it a bunch over the last couple of years. It is totally natural to, like, exhale. And they exhaled, and maybe they didn't come with the same energy the next three nights, and they got beat pretty bad. And the way Murph put it was those boos were a little bit of a wake-up call for a young club, and he was really pleased with, obviously really pleased with the way they responded. And look, another thing, it started with Aaron Ashby, who you talk about a guy sticking with it. He spent the last 2 years coming back from shoulder injury, shoulder surgery. That is really, really difficult. And anyone listening who's endured that, I know, look, my dad's not a major league ball player, but I watched him come back from shoulder surgery. It is really hard. It is really up and down. It has got to be very maddening for a talented pitcher to struggle for 2 years. Now he's back and he's like this electric weapon that they're deploying out of the bullpen. They're really excited about what he might be able to do in the next few weeks as a reliever. It started with him holding the line after 8-0. And that gave him a chance to start to come back. So I think that was a cool little element of a game that took a lot of different people. I think it started with a guy who has persevered as much as anybody.
Yeah, Adam, I know not a lot of people watch 162, but I'm going to guess that there's a lot of eyes on the final six of the season. I don't mean you to betray any trust from the clubhouse, but do the guys in there start to look at the standings? Do they have TVs on in there monitoring? What are the Phillies doing? What are the Mets doing? What are the Diamondbacks doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I mean, MLB Network is on every clubhouse TV every day. And, I mean, maybe some of the guys will try to pretend that they don't know the standings at this point or they don't look. They're looking. And I'll tell you also, the coaches and their, you know, their advanced guys, they're preparing at this point for potential opponents. And it looks like they'll be the wild card team, right? I mean, at this point, they are not catching the Phillies or Dodgers, realistically. So they're going to host the best of three. They don't have to do a lot of work against the Diamondbacks if it's the D-backs, because they just played them in 7 games over the last 10 days. The Mets are a team, on the other hand, they haven't seen since opening day, that opening series in New York. But they'll host the Mets to finish the season here, the regular season, this coming weekend. So whoever it is, it looks like it's probably going to be a team that they'll be familiar with from playing them recently. And that adds another little wrinkle to this whole scenario. So I think that the D-backs and the Mets are the teams that the Brewers are watching. I think fans are watching. I believe the Mets pulled ahead. So they're, right now it's the D-backs, but that could jockey. And obviously the Brewers going head-to-head with the Mets can change how it all plays out in the end.
All right, we got the Brewers taking on the Pirates in Pittsburgh tonight. Adam McKelvey, we always appreciate your insight.
It's raining here. That'll shock you.
Oh, it's raining here, too.
Oh, well, there we go.
We needed the rain, though. Thanks, Adam. Talk next week.